Greetings and welcome to Grund Podcast, a thing that you listen if you like adventure games, art, literature, music, game development, and everything in between. Our today's guest is Tony Lee. He's known to many developers who are working in Unity Engine, as he's a creator of Dialogue System, a plugin asset that makes your game have a nice branching dialogue and UI. Can I just mention Disco Elysium here again? Because not again. I never do that. Never. As I mentioned later, he was kind of my first person from game development scene, and I am thankful to this day for all his help and understanding. We mostly talk about his work, but in really non-technical way. Also about face punching, a bit of music, of course, and games. And don't forget, Grund is surreal, sci-fi, narrative-driven adventure game where your choices matter. And we use Dialogue System, by the way. Follow us on Twitter, join our Discord. All links, all goodies are in show notes and grund.com. We also have a Kickstarter preview page up and running. Click that notify me button. We are starting in 2 weeks. So yeah, let's have a chat. Now. Thank you so much for agreeing to spare some time for us, for me, mere mortal, over the pond, far, far away.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk. It's going to be fun.
Let's roll back 2 years ago, somewhat around 2 years ago. I started my prototype and you actually were, the first legitimate person from game development that I actually had a chat, even if it was support stuff. And I was scared, and in many ways you formed my first impression about people in the can I say indie?
I hope it was an okay impression. I was very happy to talk with you because the concept of your project is very interesting.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it was. I couldn't wish for a better impression that I had from you, because you were so supportive and nice overall and understanding. I know you as a guy from who makes and supports Dialogue System, and then you have Quest Machine and Love Hate System.
That's correct.
What have you done before, and how did you came to this place in time where you have your wow big awesome assets, and I presume it's your now main job. What's your story?
I'm a programmer by training, a computer scientist, and I have always had an interest in video games. In fact, that's what brought me into the field of programming and computer science. And after a hiatus of doing some other activities, I finally, around 2010 or so, came back to video game development and found that the Unity engine had really taken off. So I started working on a few independent projects. One of those ended up generating some modules that I thought would be useful for indie developers, including the Dialogue System. And that's how it got a start.
You are very understanding and elaborate with your support and patient. But I presume sometimes when you get a letter, maybe from me as well, you have no choice but just go like, ugh. So what calms you down? Because supporting that kind of feature probably is stressful. If not on nerves, then on time. What are your off work joys in life?
Well, first let me say that I am happy to answer questions. And that's because, as you well know, Making an independent game is a monumental task. It requires so many different disciplines, and there is so much to learn. And if I can provide a little bit of help, I always keep that in mind, and I'm very happy to assist however I can, because I know how difficult it is making an indie game, but it's so rewarding to see these games made, see these stories told that might not otherwise have been told, except for it's in some independent developer's head, and then they get it out into a form where other people can enjoy it.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But it's an evening. Enough is enough. What are your, like, I just apologize to my mic. I think I remember you said that you have dogs. You're a dog person.
Yes. In fact, you might hear them barking in the background. If so, I apologize.
Well, that would be awesome.
So they do keep me busy outside of my work hours. And apart from that, I think as many people who work in this field would agree, when you live your work life looking at a screen, very often you end up looking at a screen in your off hours too, either playing games or making your own games. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I do spend time doing in my off hours, in addition to continuing to practice martial arts.
All right.
I when I mentioned that I had a brief hiatus, mm-hmm. it was in the 90s when I ran a mixed martial arts gym. And at that time, I think like many video game developers, I was having a crisis of faith, mm-hmm. and wondering, are video games worth dedicating one's life to? Just like any artistic pursuit.
Sure.
It doesn't build buildings. It doesn't feed people directly. I finally came around to the realization that it does feed people. It feeds them spiritually, intellectually. But there was a time there where my secondary pursuit, which is mixed martial arts, competitive mixed martial arts, really felt like a path that I would be following.
You needed to punch someone.
Yes. Well, maybe I got all my punching out, and that's why I'm happy to help people nowadays on their questions and problems.
Are there lessons any lessons you transferred from your martial arts pursuit to working on games?
Certainly two. The first is persistence. As you well know, working on your game for 2 years, it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of attention to detail, and just a lot of sticking to it when the going gets tough.
Hell yeah.
But the second is remembering humility. If you are practicing mixed martial arts, if you're competing, no matter how good you are, there will always be someone who will be able to beat you. And in the same thing, you may feel like you are the best writer, or you have the best ideas for a video game, and there is always something to learn. I am continually learning from people that I have the privilege, to be able to assist when they're using my assets like the dialogue system or quest machine.
What I have a question. Well, there is a correct answer, and I wonder, will you give it to me? What kind of music do you like? What are you listening while working, or do you like work in silence?
No. I think few people. There are a few people who like to work in silence, and I think many people also say they have eclectic tastes. I will join that crowd. If I am programming, I prefer to listen to structured music like Baroque classical music.
Uh-huh.
However, if I'm doing something a little more artistic, writing or working on art, I actually prefer to listen to video game music. It's ambient. It doesn't have huge swings in its mood because it's meant to be essentially background music sure. for playing the game. And so it allows me to stay focused on what I'm working on. And of course, I grew up in the 80s. So I have a soft spot for 80s rock and 80s hip hop and even 80s pop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The correct answer was metal, but well, okay. I'll forgive you.
Because... Oh, hey, I have plenty of friends that I've gone to even metal concerts with. So, you know, I listen to that too.
Now, I just had a question that I took from what you said and now I forgot. I hate this feeling. Let's skip that then for a moment and let's get back to your work and clients. I know your clients very well. I am one of those, and the ranges of them, like age, knowledge base, are probably very wide. What are your the most common user and guy who asks for help? What's the skill level of client base?
Well, like you said, the range is very wide. There are some people who have just started out in game development and they have never even used Unity before. My assets are built for the Unity game engine and they need just a little bit of support to get started, but generally they're bursting with creativity and ideas. But it ranges from there all the way to ex-AAA developers who are very technical and they can dig into all of the details, and they will also contact me either to make feature requests or if they have a particular question about something deep in the code. So it runs the gamut, but I would say in general, because Unity is a relatively approachable game engine, that they tend more to be on the earlier side mm-hmm. of their game development journey. And that is great. We need more stories from a greater diversity of people. So I'm very happy to see lots of people like yourself coming mm-hmm. into this field and telling the stories that only you can tell.
Well, you said it's very approachable. Actually, when I researched before I started to work on Prototype, I didn't know that Unity is an engine. When I researched all my possibilities while choosing the engine, I saw the Unity as the most approachable, the easier to understand. I have no idea. Maybe it's my Photoshop and Adobe package background. Maybe something in UI talked to me. But yeah, it's simple enough to understand. Slash, it's not so limiting than, well, any like adventure creator or.
Did you examine any other engines out of curiosity?
I didn't went further than reading on them, reading about them. I did not download every one, and I made my mind, and I stuck with it. I tried. There's a plugin for Unity as well. It's something with adventure.
There is Adventure Creator.
Probably,
and
yeah.
For adventure games, it's quite good. The dialogue system and Quest Machine both have integrations with it in case you need to boost the dialogue capabilities of it. But it's quite good.
Yeah, I am sure you're right. Kind of felt that if I go a node-based way, if we can call it like that, I'll in the end I'll miss out on some technical game building opportunities, but I might be wrong. Seriously, who am I to talk? I actually no. That's you're interviewing me? No. Oh, okay. I actually remembered what I wanted to say. You mentioned that you like to listen to game soundtracks, and I've listened to a lot of them, but one that stuck for gazillion years now is Fallout 1 and 2 soundtracks. Mark Morgan. Ooh, that's good stuff. If you haven't heard it, give it a listen.
Yes. Yes. I played a lot of Fallout 1 and 2. I actually played quite a bit of Fallout 3 just because the immersive environment they created was so compelling. There might have been some issues with the gameplay, but it was a game that I still remember fondly.
And it was something new. It came after Oblivion, or... Am I right?
I think it came right after Skyrim.
Wow.
Yeah. I could be wrong about that. It might have been Oblivion. Oh. But around that time period.
Yeah. And you have to play it. It's Fallout. Still, I haven't finished number 4 yet. And I'm not going to finish it probably. So. Anywho. We branched off to clients you have, guys who ask questions, and of course many games have used your assets. My biggest example, of course, is Disco Elysium. Could you please describe the work with such big titles? If you can mention more than Disco Elysium, it would be awesome. What are the differences? And you already mentioned that maybe there's a code, but like in relationship wise more.
Well, I like to think that I primarily simply provide the tools that get the technical hurdles out of the way. Mm-hmm. I try very much not to provide what's called an opinionated tool, which is one that forces you to work in a very specific way. You know, Adventure Creator is a great framework. It does ask you in some regards to work in a very specific way, and it simplifies things to do that, but it can also reduce the amount of freedom as a designer that you might feel in changing the design of your game. So with assets like the dialogue system, I really just try to provide the technical support and technical capabilities so that the creative people can focus solely on doing their writing, creating their art, getting the game fun and playable. And if that means implementing some features that the game designers suggest, I will be happy to do that, as long as it really seems to fit within the scope of the asset. Uh-huh. And I have to say, you mentioned that many of these, that the dialogue system is updated frequently. And that is true. Many of those updates are due to suggestions and feature requests from users. So I really have people like you and other designers to thank for the growth and continual improvement of the dialogue system. But when it comes to the creative aspect, I'm really just try to be in a support capacity, getting rid of any kind of technical obstacles that writers in particular might have getting their vision to play out in a game.
That's awesome. Of course, I don't know the numbers, I'm not asking you for numbers. But still, in the end of the day, that's your living, and work on something really, really Like making a new feature, it takes time. And are you sometimes also outsourced as a specialist, or because sometimes, and I know that I'm already over my limits of your time, and that's for $90. Well, to be blunt, like that, that's too expensive for you. So, my question was, are you sometimes outsourced as a specialist, and or somewhat are there any other arrangements possible with you and studios?
Yes, I am occasionally available for contract software engineering, but for the most part, as long as I can keep it sustainable, I like to focus mostly on developing and providing support for assets such as the assets on the Unity Asset Store, because I feel like I can contribute more broadly that way than individually on a project by project basis. And frankly, it's quite rewarding for me to be a part, even if it's a small part, of so many different projects. I know I'm not in the creative side of any of those projects, but at least I help them out a little bit, and I get the satisfaction of knowing, hey, this helped a bit to allow some designers to reach a vision that maybe would have taken them longer or they couldn't have done without these tools.
Oh, Jesus. Eat healthy, please. And yeah, take care of yourself because a lot of people depend on you.
Yeah. Well, I do try to practice a good work-life balance. Many people in the video game industry would agree that, except for very, very rare cases, working in the video game industry is not as financially rewarding as the equivalent work in a different commercial setting. For instance, software engineering in banking or something like that. But it also has its other rewards. It's a more creative, fun field to be in. And you're right. So long as we practice a good work-life balance, it's enjoyable and can be perfectly sustainable.
Yeah, you can run for 14 hours a day. Just so long. At one point, it will catch you up and eat you up if you don't do something about it. You mentioned you kind through our talk, you kind of distance yourself from the creative side, understandably, and it's amazing. No, it's not amazing. It's understandable and cool. My question is, you mentioned that you also your off work hours. Some of your off-work hours are in front of the screen. So, are you perchance making a game, sir?
I work on the occasional prototype. One of them might turn into a game in the relative near future. And yes, for every project that someone contacts me and says, hey, we're working on this really neat idea, I have a technical question on the dialogue system, request machine. Of course, I would love to jump in and give all of my creative ideas and jump in and do some of the writing, but that's their project. I don't want to force my ideas onto what their vision is, even though every project makes me excited. So I do participate in game jams and work on prototypes and contribute to the writing in my own projects.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you won't give any names, or any genre maybe. Can you, what are you making?
So, like many people, I have a love of adventure games and RPGs. And my current prototype that I do work on in my off hours is a beat-em-up RPG. And we'll see if this becomes something that ends up being a released game. It's set in a sword and sorcery, so a little bit more earlier in time frame than your traditional European medieval fantasy, and influenced quite a lot by the Golden Age writings of authors such as Robert E. Howard, who wrote the Conan the Barbarian series of stories.
How about, okay, you're right, how about art, game art? Are you creating it yourself as well?
No, I have some partners working on that. I unfortunately have not particularly developed my art skills, but I am very happy to work with other people because they will bring ideas to the table that I never would have imagined.
Yes, totally agree. We have our artist Nicola, and sometimes when I got new drawings from him, it's like, oh, I wish I could do that. Not because I could like do it instead of Nicola, but it's such a great skill to have. Of course, you have to work for it, but wow. People who can draw, amazing.
Well, now you are a photographer also, aren't you? So I'm sure you have a fairly developed eye for that kind of composition.
I might say yes.
Everything.
Yes, but to draw something, you can kill me. Even stick
figures.
There
are a few indie games coming out that actually use real-life photographs. And they're either manipulated and cut so that they can be animated, or they're just used as backdrops to a more text-heavy story. So there's always that as an option, maybe not for your current game, but for something else should the opportunity arise.
Yeah, okay. Now, for you have worked on a lot of games during your work. My English is so amazing. Anyways, what's your favorite games you worked on? And maybe some other games in general. What are your favorites? Like, names. We need names.
Well, I can't claim to have provided any additional work other than development and support of, say, the dialogue system.
Okay, yes.
On many of my favorite games, such as Disco Elysium, Jenny LeClue, Lake. Many others come to mind, but one that I am providing direct software engineering contract work on is Gestalt, Steam, and Cinder. It's a pixel art Metroidvania, and I've quite enjoyed working on that too.
Awesome. That's a proper shout out. Do I remember correctly? Now you are 11 years in this dialogue system stuff. From 2010?
Well, let's see. 11 years working in the Unity engine. It was back in 2010 that I also evaluated various game engines and felt like Unity was on the best path for success. But the dialogue system itself was released in 2013. So it has been 8 or 9 years since that has first come out and then just grown in use and grown in capabilities from then.
Oh, it's okay. It's 8, 9 years. So what are your secret plan for the future for Pixel Crushers?
Ah, that's a good question. Certainly maintaining and keeping.
Yes, please.
Improving the dialogue system, quest machine, possibly introducing some other assets. My actual background is more in traditional AI, and I would like to have an opportunity to develop some assets and tools more in the AI space to supplement what the dialogue system, quest machine, and Love-Hate do. Love-Hate is more of an AI system.
Yeah.
But also to continue working on my own games, large and small. I do enjoy participating in game jams also. They are an opportunity to to refine my design skills, which is a separate thing from my technical engineering skills. Sure. And also explore different ideas in a very short time frame. So there's a little bit less of a drag to see these games completed.
Well, so I know you're busy, and as I promised, it's half an hour. So,
okay. Well, it's been great talking with you. I'd love to hear more also about Grund in your future podcasts. So, you know, if you manage to fit in thoughts about that and about your experience making the game and what you might do with it in the future, please remember to keep that in mind for all your listeners.
I would love to. I actually asked the question in Twitter, like, hey, maybe I want to make one podcast episode with questions and answers and yada yada. Nobody wrote me. So far, there's not enough interest because I don't see myself just ramble about topics I want to ramble about and cry about. But yeah, maybe in future. Maybe. Let's see how the November goes when we have that Kickstarter stuff. And
Okay. Well, best of luck on your Kickstarter. And it's been a pleasure talking with you.
That's it. That's it. Again, left a bit more of my own ramble there. Did not edit out some things I would normally do. Let me know how it works. Kind of feel it's more proper this way to keep me honest. Visit grund.com, wishlist Grund on Steam, play our demo, blah, 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 blah. Kickstarter. I already mentioned that as well. Yeah, in 2 weeks, November 3rd. Please back us. Please support us. Thank you for listening. Till the next time.